This is your friend John Walden from Colorado Springs. We're studying in 2 Corinthians, and we've reached chapter 6, and we're going to look at the first 10 verses. We then, as workers together, with him is in italics and doesn't properly belong here. That's one nice thing about the King James Version. They honestly put in italics anything that is interpolated to help make up the sense. And in this case, it certainly doesn't belong there. It would be almost irreverent to say that we're workers together with God, but we are workers together, and Paul is including the Corinthians with himself. Now, what kind of workers? Well, from the second chapter on, he's been telling us about what it means to be a true servant of Christ. And in the close of chapter 5, he told us that we are ambassadors for Christ and that we have a message of reconciliation to give to the people all about us. Now the Corinthians are exhorted to receive not, we beseech you, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now he's not suggesting that they might be lost. He's not suggesting that the grace of God might fail to save them at the last. But of course, grace is for daily living as well as salvation. And even the grace of God is to be brought to us at the return of Christ. And so rather, he's exhorting them not to miss the opportunity to be true servants of Christ. And then he quotes from the 49th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 8, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, he adds by the Spirit of God, behold, now is the day of salvation. Now the setting is this. The Lord Jesus, in eternity past, said to the Father, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And the Father's answer to the Son here is, Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I accept your offer, and you will come into this world, and you will reach the nation of Israel, and you will reach the Gentiles as well. And eventually you will sit on the throne of David, and he tells about the glories of the coming kingdom. Now, to us today, we have reached the day of salvation. Christ has come, has suffered and died, and gone up to heaven. He is the great servant, and this is the day of salvation. This is the time. If you're going to be a fellow workman with other believers, you must not fail to receive the grace of God. You must accept God's gracious help in the work that he has given us as believers to do. And if you're not a Christian, let me tell you, it's a very serious thing to read, Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Because if you reject Christ now, I have no right from Scripture to offer you any future time, any second chance after death. You've had many chances. Don't reject the Lord Jesus. Take him as your Savior and do it right now if you haven't already. Now, the Lord is asking through the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that these Galatians share in the service to Christ. This is not a select group. This is offered to all true believers. And he says that we're to give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Now, of course, you can't avoid offense because he says the offense of the cross has not ceased. The gospel always gives offense. But we ought not to personally offend anyone. We ought to be careful of what we do and what we say so that we will not stumble anyone, not hinder anyone from coming to Christ. And he gives us in verses 4 through 10... some very wonderful things about the true servant. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, was the pattern servant. And the Apostle Paul sought to follow the Lord Jesus, and he says to us, Follow me as I follow Christ. Never follow any man any farther than he is following Christ. Certainly, the Lord Jesus gave no offense. Certainly the Lord Jesus was all of the things that he says here ought to be true of us. Let's look at them. There are three sets of nine. In verse 4, he says, but in all things, approving ourselves or commending ourselves, showing that we are the servants of God in much patience. Now, this is to carry through all of the things that are said following this. Patience is the very essence of Christian service today. You're going to find much to try your patience. You will labor for a long time and not see much in results. You will see people profess to be saved and they will turn out to be imposters. You will see some who are going on well for the Lord and then they become discouraged. It takes a great deal of patience to go on serving the Lord. The first of these sets of nine, verses 4 and 5, tell us about three things which come upon the true servant of Christ by providence: afflictions, necessities, distresses. If you're looking for an easy life, don't think about serving the Lord. But I pity you when you have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and find that you have wasted your life when it could have been spent profitably. Persecution, and this is followed by three things that that Paul suffered and that many others have: stripes, imprisonments, tumults, and then three things that he himself personally was responsible for: labors, watchings, and fastings. If you want to be a true child of God, or rather a true servant of God, you're going to have to put second to Christ all of these other things, and your labors will be long and strenuous, and you'll have to watch and wait patiently for the results. Then in verses 6 and 7, we have nine characteristics of the believer, of the true servant: by pureness, knowledge, long-suffering, kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. And of course, you know the Holy Spirit is the one who produces the love. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And by the word of truth and by the power of God. And the word of God is the means of the power of God reaching out. If you're not familiar with the word of God, you can't expect much of the power of God in your service. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. It was said that they carried the sword in the right hand and the shield in the left. Whatever it means that these are the characteristics of the true servant of Christ. And they are attainable, or the Lord wouldn't have set them before us. And then we have nine paradoxes in verses 8 through 10, seeming contradictions: by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known. They were unknown to the world, and the world doesn't know that I exist, but the Lord knows it, and he certainly is concerned about my being here, and I trust that those of us who try to serve the Lord will be well known in that coming day in the glory, and after all, that's all that counts. As dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. He was sorrowful about those who were not saved, but he was glad about the kindness of God. In fact, later on in the next chapter, he talks about being exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. It isn't necessarily the key to joy that you have everything go your way. Oftentimes you learn more about real joy in suffering than you will anywhere else. Now, these paradoxes are simply to enable us to understand that God's ways are not man's ways. You and I must be contented to live a life that the world would despise. He finishes it by saying, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Paul said that he knew how to be hungry, and yet he was rich in the Lord Jesus. And he writes an epistle to the Ephesians in which he talks about the riches of Christ, all of these given to us. Now, living this kind of a life, serving the Lord in this way, is simply impossible to mere human nature. If you have not been born again, if you are not empowered by the indwelling Spirit of God, if you are not led by the Word of God, if you are not receiving the blessing of God upon your service, it amounts to nothing. No matter how religious, religion, after all, is just like a cloak that you put on the outside. And 4 out of 5 times that it's mentioned in the Bible, it's in a bad sense. And you can't be educated to be a servant of Christ. Education can be a helpful tool, but being educated doesn't make a man a servant of Christ. You could go through the best schools in the world, but you would not necessarily be a true servant of Christ. It's the indwelling Holy Spirit that empowers the believer. And the Son of God, as our advocate and high priest, intercedes for us at the right hand of God. And the Father is there to hear and to answer our prayers. We can depend upon His might when we have none of our own. Now remember that every believer is a servant of God. This is not a clergy as opposed to the laity. In fact, the word clergy simply is a translation of the word heritage, or rather is a root word of the word heritage. All of God's children are His clergy. There's no clergy-laity division in the Bible. You look for it and see if you can find it. All of us ought to be the servants of Christ. Some are called to serve in a different way. We don't all have the same gifts, but each of us who know the Lord should serve Him. If you're not saved, you couldn't do anything to please Him at all, and there is no hope for you unless you are willing to receive the Lord Jesus first as your Savior. Our Father, we ask You to bless Thy Word, save the lost, and grant that Thy dear children may be glad to be true servants of Christ as long as we are left here. We ask in His name. Amen.